Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Happy Tina Peters release day to Governor Polis and to all who celebrate. Within hours, she was back on her bologna about stolen elections. A candidate for governor is ducking debates, playing chicken on whether he'll show up on 9 News tomorrow night. Young voters just want him to talk turkey.
That's a bare minimum as a candidate for governor to be able to lay out your policy plan.
Will the Broncos' new stadium come with a new train stop?
And people have been wanting this for years, and it's going to happen.
All aboard for Next. Today marks one of the biggest wins in President Trump's effort to discredit American elections. The win isn't evidence of his election rigging claim. Still none of that. This win wasn't even delivered by the president or one of his Republican allies. No, it's thanks to Colorado's Democratic Governor Jared Polis, who boosted Trump's movement by freeing Tina Peters today, less than 2 years into her 9-year sentence for a breach of Colorado's voting systems. Within hours, Peters was back on MAGA Media proclaiming that elections are rigged by voting machines.
I know that the Democrats are going to cheat, and no one's really addressing the problem that the basic, that I spent my time in prison as retribution for, and that was exposing the election machines that allow the votes to be flipped.
Peters did not uncover evidence of voting machines flipping votes. She's a convicted felon because she got caught sneaking someone into Colorado's voting systems to turn over sensitive data to fellow conspiracy theorists. Today, Peters defended Governor Polis from the quote-unquote horrible media and the haters who are criticizing his decision to free her. And her attorney and allies said their next step is criminal charges against Colorado's top Democrats, including Secretary of State Jenna Griswold.
I encourage Don Blanche. If he doesn't do it, I'll end up doing it if I get to be the AG. But somebody needs to charge this woman for her insurrection, her sedition.
When I'm governor, we're going to work very hard to make sure that she is brought to justice, that she's indicted and hopefully put in jail, according and also with her accomplice in a lot of this, which is Attorney General Weiser.
Governor Polis is lying low today after taking a carrot and shtick approach to the backlash for his clemency for Tina Peters. Governor Polis munched on a carrot for nearly a full minute as reporters tried to ask him questions about why he freed Peters. And after Colorado Democrats voted overwhelmingly to ban Polis from speaking at party events, he showed up on a party Zoom meeting with tape over his mouth. Vice President J.D. Vance had suggested that Peters could get restitution from the $1.8 billion slush fund set up by President Trump to reward his allies who claim to have been prosecuted unfairly. But today, after strong bipartisan pushback and legal scrutiny, the Trump administration said it's dropping the idea of the slush fund. Denver metro area got its own slush fund today. Spicy little hailstorm that rolled through. Some wannabe tornadoes got twisty on us, too. It was hailing like crazy at Aaron Johnson's place on west of City Park in Denver. 5 points, got scoops of it too. Quarter-sized stuff all over town. We're still watching some severe thunderstorm activity tonight. Let's check in with meteorologist Corey Reppenhagen. I mean, not the end-all be-all of storms, but a good little how you doing today?
Yeah, wow. Wake-up call here in Denver for sure. Quite a bit of large damaging hail. 1 inch in diameter mostly, but a few golf balls. And it's not quite done yet. It's out on the eastern plains. The city of Yuma just got popped by a pretty good storm here. Down on the ground, you can see some hail and quite a bit of rain that just got put down from that thunderstorm. It actually carried a tornado warning as it went right up into the town, and it diminished the rotation, but still got hit pretty hard with the hail. You can see that magenta color there that just went through Yuma. That will catch a piece of Eccles, might be able to stay north of Ray before all this stuff exits the state here. We've watched a few attempts at additional storms to develop in the metro. They failed. That's good news for us. Round two looks like it won't be too bad. Tomorrow, we will have thunderstorms again, and they will include Denver, but the severe threat a little weaker and a little bit more east. I'm not too worried about the thunderstorms in Denver tomorrow, but we could see some heavy spurts of rain and maybe some small hail out of those storms tomorrow in the Denver metro area. We'll carry a afternoon thunderstorm threat each of the next couple of days, Tuesday and Wednesday. It'll start to diminish on Thursday, and that's when we change from heat or from hail to heat. We go up to 89 on Friday, and it looks like the 90s are inbound. We do have 90 degree temperatures in the forecast for Saturday and Sunday, and that heat will likely carry into the early part of next week. Kyle?
Corey, thank you. This Tuesday and Thursday at 6 p.m., we will be preempted for Next Presents, the race for governor, the only televised debates where all of the candidates are confirmed to appear. One of the five candidates for governor has been ducking debates, but ministry leader Victor Marks has committed to appearing on 9 News tomorrow night to debate State Senator Barb Kirkmeyer and State Representative Scott Bottoms. Now, Marks hinted at backing out last night, putting up a poll on his Facebook page asking if he should drop out of the debate. Almost 90% of respondents told him to keep his commitment and show up, and he took down the poll after a few hours. That childish drama aside, four young people from the University of Denver, site of tomorrow's debate, told our Marshall Zellinger what they hope to hear out of the adults who want to lead our state.
When you debate on a college campus, you probably want to appeal to a younger crowd.
What's going to help me? Will I ever be able to afford a home?
I would care most about their approach for education and workforce.
Rose, Taylor, Adeline, and Jackson are students at the University of Denver, where this week's 9 News gubernatorial debates will take place.
I'd definitely say I'm more interested in the Republican primary.
Jackson is from Douglas County and has a favorite in the Republican primary.
Personally, I find Victor Marks the most interesting. I think we know a lot about him as a person, but I'd like to hear a little more about his specific policy positions.
When you don't know much about his policy, what makes him interesting to follow?
The Colorado Republican Party has been a losing party for a very long time now, so I think it could be beneficial to get an outsider in.
Adeline would frankly like to see more youthful candidates in the race.
I think there are a lot of old people in politics right now. I mean, nationally, locally, statewide. We need some fresh ideas.
Rose wants a candidate who can help make it easier for college students to find jobs.
What does workforce help after college mean for you? What would that look like?
It would look like not having to apply to 50,000 jobs to get 3 interviews.
Taylor just wants her paycheck to go farther.
All of my money goes towards rent, so it's kind of hard to live when all of my money's going to rent.
Tuesday's Republican debate will reveal the policy differences between State Senator Barb Kirkmeyer, State Representative Scott Bottoms, and Ministry Leader Victor Marks, who has backed out or avoided other debates ahead of the primary.
If for some reason Victor Marks makes it the entire way to the primary without participating in a debate where he has to answer policy questions, would that disqualify him for you?
Yeah, that'd be pretty discouraging. I think that's a bare minimum as a candidate for governor to be able to lay out your policy plan.
I think we'll definitely help Jackson out with the policy information. No question we ask, though, will help Adeline's concern about the candidates being too old, Kyle.
So, again, we have this situation where people desperately want to hear from the candidates, and you've got candidates that want to debate each other, but the question is, can you get the front runner in the room?
Apparently, we are, right? That's what happened. That's what
you tell me, Marshall.
We'll find out this time tomorrow, maybe 23 hours and 53 minutes from now.
Well, if there's something that everybody loves, it's needless drama. So, Marshall, thank you. Thursday, June 4th, 6 p.m., 9 News hosts the Democratic primary debate for governor between Senator Michael Bennett and Attorney General Phil Weiser. Both adults, both promised to show up. Like tomorrow night, it is an hour-long, commercial-free debate live on 9 News. Then Monday, June 8th, 6 p.m., the only televised debate between the Democrats vying for the chance to face Republican Representative Gabe Evans in the super competitive 8th Congressional District, northern end of the metro area up to Weld County. That's State Rep Manny Rutenell and former State Rep Shannon Byrd. The Denver Broncos want a train station at their new stadium. The agency building Colorado's passenger rail line wants to give them a stop, just one catch. Voters haven't approved it. Here's our Spencer Soysher with that.
The Bronco Express. Sounds like a great name for a franchise running back. A north-south runner who refuses to go down. racks up thousands of yards over the years. It'd be really cool if they had a guy like that. But we may have to settle for the Broncos Express, this unfunded train going to an unbuilt stadium in an unknown year.
No, that's just an AI-generated picture that I helped put together.
Sal Pace runs the Front Range Passenger Rail District, which is briefing city leaders this week on plans for a Front Range passenger train, including a dedicated stop at the Broncos' new stadium.
They put it in their master plan, a station for Front Range Passenger Rail, and it made a lot of sense, so we started conversations with them.
The Broncos' planning documents submitted to the city show the platform would go on the western edge of Burnham Yard. Pace says public dollars would pay for all of it until you get off the platform.
A station and station amenities, that's going to fall on the Broncos themselves.
Denver to Fort Collins is already funded. Everything south and special event stops, like the Broncos one, need voter approval.
We're still buttoning up our financial modeling, but right now we're modeling something around a third of a penny, would be less than 4 cents on a $10 purchase.
There's also a planned stop near the Denver Summit Stadium on South Broadway.
People have been wanting this for years, and it's going to happen.
Who knows where this train's headed, but it's got big plans. Before it's got big money.
Well, we have to tell people what the voters are going to be spending money on.
Now, voters should know how much this will cost by August. The Broncos did confirm to us that they're interested. Can you imagine if a couple years from now, the Broncos cut somebody and we're like, yeah, they took him to the train station? This week marks 6 years of your Word of Thanks generosity. You have not missed a week since we got rolling in June of 2020. Most recently, last week, raising $50,000 for Coal Creek Meals on Wheels. There's a new way to track the impact of your $18 million in giving and to see where all in Colorado that you've helped your neighbors. Go to wordofthanks.org. That's also where you can nominate a nonprofit that is making an impact in Colorado. Somebody that you know of, perhaps somebody that you work with. I review every one of those nominations personally. So swing by wordofthanks.org and drop a good word for somebody who is helping you do good in this state.
To me, coming from what we experienced in the state, it just feels very similar to that fear-mongering.
These Coloradans moved halfway around the world to protect their transgender child, only to stumble into a new political battle overseas. And they did not have the typical high school experience. But an online school gave their grads the opportunity to walk the stage alongside classmates they mostly see through a webcam. That's next. 10 months ago, a family from Colorado moved across the world to protect their transgender daughter. Now their safe haven is considering legislation that could negatively impact transgender people. Our Jaleesa Arizari explains.
A lot can change in a year.
Exactly.
Candace and her family may have traded time zones, but lately, not headlines.
To me, coming from what we experienced in the state, it just feels very similar to that fear-mongering of, you know, it's a global hot-button issue. So I think my personal opinion is that's sort of what they're trying to do.
Candace is a Coloradan now living in New Zealand. She moved her family there to protect her transgender child from the rhetoric and policies coming out of the current administration. But the New Zealand Parliament seems to be pulling a page out of President Trump's book.
Legislation, definitions of women and men, amendment bill. First reading.
Last month, a bill looking to legally define the terms man and woman passed its first reading. The legislation would define women in law as an adult human biological female and man as an adult human biological male. While the wording sounds similar to a Trump executive order targeting transgender people, Candace says the feeling it brings isn't.
Not even close. It's an election year and people like to stir things up, but everything that I have heard, it does not seem likely to pass. And like that genuine fear in our gut is not there this time.
But this is not the New Zealand government's first move targeting transgender people. In November, the country's health minister announced they'd stop new puberty blocker prescriptions for transgender minors. But despite all that, Candace stands by her family's decision to leave.
No regrets. It's been a whirlwind, but like, in the best possible way. The kids especially, they are the most adaptable children. They have not skipped a beat since we've been here.
There is where Candace and her family will remain. She says her daughter has been able to create a life with friends that know about her transition and don't care. She believes no headline can change that.
We've been able to just live, which was the whole point.
Now, the bill is currently being reviewed by a select committee. Right now, the public is also allowed to submit feedback until July 1st, which is something Candace says she plans to do. Kyle.
Interesting that they've decided that they're going to keep their roots there at this point, as New Zealand wrestles with this kind of culture war issue that a lot of American states specifically dealt with years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And this bill specifically actually replaces their own form of a bathroom bill. They were going to fine people if they used a bathroom that wasn't part of their designated sex. They would have been fined $2,000 for that, Kyle.
Julie Sarazari, thank you. After 4 years together in high school, these classmates are meeting for the first time at graduation. Next. There's no one-size-fits-all approach to high school, and for a variety of reasons, some students choose to complete their studies online. This graduation season, one online school made sure their students got at least one face-to-face experience.
It's just an amazing day. I love it. It's one of my favorite days of the whole year. We're here for graduation for our Colorado Preparatory Academy. We're a free online public school that services everybody in the state of Colorado. I have taught a lot of them, and I get to see the kids in person that I, you know, I've seen on a camera, or I've heard their voices, or I've read their work. They are online all the time. This is like one of those chances that they get to come in and be in person, meet each other, meet their teachers, and really celebrate. Each kid is coming in with a different story. You know, they're online for all sorts of different reasons.
It's all online because I'm a professional figure skater competing for Team USA on the junior level.
I've had Jane in class, but I didn't know her super secret. She kept that under wraps.
I start my training day at 8 a.m, and I finish at 5, so I would have no way of going to school in person. So that's why online school was pretty much a necessity. Very excited and kind of nervous. I can get out like on the ice and do something. I'm not nervous for that, but like getting out on stage is a little nerve-wracking.
They've worked hard for all these years, and now they can come together and have an in-person graduation, walk across the stage and get their diploma like everyone else does.
She's a figure skater, Zvi. How about that, huh? Back with your Zvi-back next. Feedback tonight from email. In relation to the Tina Peters letter of contrition to Governor Polis, the governor alluded to receiving it, publish it for all of us other Colorado citizens to see. You know, that's a good point. I don't know that we ever have made that letter public, but I know that we've obtained a copy of it. So I'll put it up on my social media platforms tonight for anybody who's interested in reading the letter where she wrote into the governor about how super sorry she was until today. This from Henry in Conover says, love the Yellowstone reference that you snuck into the show tonight. It was a pretty good show, at least like the first season or two. My favorite character is Rip. He's really interesting, even if he does kill people, which generally speaking is not a great thing to do. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.